Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, my next guest's expertise in skincare has amassed her a massive following, renowned for her thorough, no-nonsense and practical approach. Caroline Hirons now brings her podcast, Glad We Had This Chat, on tour to the Three Olympia Theatre in Dublin on Monday, the 24th of February. And she joins me on the line now. Caroline, you're very welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Caroline, you're sort of synonymous to me in the beauty and skincare world, but I have never really heard what led you into that. You started on the beauty counters, is that right?
Yes, I got a Saturday-Sunday job on the Aveda counter in Harvey Nichols in Knightsbridge in 1997, I want to say, so nearly 30 years ago. And on day one, I loved it. And on day two, I knew I'd found my vocation for life. I was obsessed. I loved it.
And did you have any interest in skincare, in makeup, in beauty before then?
Yes, I had an interest. My mum and grandmother both worked in the industry in different ways. My mum did more makeup. My grandmother was a fragrance specialist. But weirdly, we'd never discussed me working in beauty. And then when I got the job, they were thrilled for me, but it was never like a family plan. You know, it was never, right, we've done this, so now you have to do this. It just kind of happened.
And I think some people would imagine that working on the beauty counter, you're more of a salesperson. But there are so many people like you for whom it's a vocation, who are really passionate about what they're doing.
Yep. Shout out to the shop floor crew. Yeah, you have to have a real passion for the work and the people, you know, mixing with the general public daily. Nothing teaches you more than working in public service, let's be honest. And I just loved it. I loved the people. I loved the customers. I loved the brands. I loved the department store atmosphere. I loved all of it.
I listened to an interview recently with a rather famous makeup artist here in Ireland, and she was talking about starting on the counters, and she started in America, and at one stage it was illegal
to use.
Yes, and it was illegal to use brushes, she said. It was fingers only.
Yeah. Yeah, Cluish and I are old mates. She does my makeup when I'm in Dublin.
Wow. Well, that's good. It is a small, tight industry, isn't it, in
we're
many
very
ways.
Tight. We all stick up for each other. You know, we're very tight, and it's I think a lot of that has to come from the empathy of it being predominantly a female industry.
And do you consider yourself to be in the business of making people feel good about themselves?
Yes, 100%. You know, skincare is healthcare, is wellness. You know, it's grooming. You can start wherever you want, but essentially we've always groomed. You know, look at monkeys. We've moved on, though, from picking bugs out of people's heads, you know. It's definitely about making people feel better. It's not about making, you know, helping people. Certainly what I do, I don't see it as helping people achieve a certain look. You know, I'm not huge on sort of changing how people look. You know, if you want to have something done aesthetically, that's absolutely your call. There's no judgment from me. But I just want people to, you know, see their friends and for their friends to say, oh, you look really well. You know, not your makeup looks great or, you know, your hair looks right. I just want you ultimately, the ultimate compliment is you look really well.
And for you, what is the definition of beauty?
I suppose whatever makes you feel good inside and have that internal glow, you know, that kind of, it could sound cheesy taken out of context, but whatever makes you feel good about yourself and about people around you and makes you happy.
Because there's a lot of conflicting voices, isn't there, at the moment in the beauty industry. I mean, I even find it as a woman in midlife myself, you know, I'm not interested in anti-aging, and yet I want my skin to look at its best. I champion women having the right to choose if they want to use injectables, if they want to, you know, wear lots of makeup. It's down to every woman's choice. But there are a lot of voices, and there always seems to be, you know, growing old gracefully and the natural route, and pitting the two against each other, I find.
I think it depends how much you buy into it. I pay no attention. You know, I hate the term growing old gracefully. I rarely have I ever felt so much annoyance as when people say that, especially about me. I'm like, I am going to grow disgracefully. Thank you. Now, what does that mean? Growing old gracefully. What does that mean? You let yourself go gray. You don't take care of your skin. You don't go to a gym. You don't eat well. Where do you draw the line? You know, and also they never say that to men. Don't say anything to me that you would not say to a man is my kind of rule of thumb for life. And that's kind of stood me in good stead.
Yeah, you're right. And, I find myself conflicted within it myself. I mean, Demi Moore is obviously getting a lot of coverage at the minute for finally getting her first Oscar nomination. And yet most of the press coverage is about her face and what has she had done. And that's what women come up against all the time.
Yeah, but you can choose not to engage in it. You know, I think the more we engage in it, the more it gets oxygen, the more the fire grows. I'm not interested. If all you've got to say about a woman is what she looks like, then you're a troll. I don't care if you're in the media. I don't care if you write for a paper. If all you can discuss about a woman is what she looks like, then you've got nothing else to say and you must be uneducated, you know, because I look at my friends and I think how funny they are, how smart they are, how intuitive they are, how empathetic they are. I never think she looks a right old dog or she looks great. You know, if it's your best mate or your sister or your sister-in-law or your daughter, you might say you're looking rough, love, in the way that you can to certain people. But I don't think the first thing we talk about a woman should be her looks.
Yeah, I love you, Caroline. Oh, captain, my captain, for sure. And tell us then when things began to change on the beauty counter, because you really wanted to get under the bonnet and find out at a scientific level what was going on with these products and why they were working. You wanted to go deeper.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been big on trends. I'm always asked, what do you think is the next big trend? And my honest response is, I don't know and I don't care. I really don't care. I'm not led by trends. I'm led by science. I'm led by proof. I'm led by clinical trials. I'm led by what the consumer is telling me that they're not quite getting from whatever they're currently using, whether that's my range or another range. So the science has to be first. It has to be science first. It can't be marketing first. It can't be marketing through fear. You know, the whole like, oh, you don't know if you could use this. It's too strong. And we use a lot of actives. And I just think you're just talking nonsense to try and confuse people or bedazzle people. And either way, you're not being straight with people. You know, women aren't stupid. Let's be honest. The biggest consumers of beauty are women, and we're not stupid. And I am so over being spoken to as if I'm less than because I'm female. It does my head in, as you may have noticed.
How much, and this sounds like a crazy question, but how much of the science can we trust to not be biased, like the clinical trials paid for by a particular company? How can we help navigate that?
Well, if it's a third party clinical trial, that is trust. That's what we do. We pay a company to test our product. I give them the criteria. I want you to test on every age group, every skin color, which a lot of brands still don't do. Most products are still tested on Caucasian skin. We test to a higher percentage than the rating of people of color in the UK to make sure we're covering everyone. I want to test on women. I want to test on men. And I want to test on pregnant women, depending on what it is, obviously. I would never put anyone at risk, by the way. But and that's all third party. We don't get to see the people. They don't know what the brand is. It costs me a bloody fortune, but it's worth it because then we get the results back and I can go on TV anywhere in the world and say, this is proven to do X, Y, Z. It's not conjecture. It's not marketing. It's science. You know, you're paying someone to back up what you know your product does, but to back you up and say, oh, no, you can absolutely say that.
Because we should be really careful with our skin, shouldn't we? I mean, as we've already said, it's all up for you embracing beauty and whatever it means to you. But the skin is still healthcare. It's the biggest organ we have.
I think most people do want to be careful with their skin. And I think if a brand is encouraging you not or to take risk with your skin, then they're a brand I wouldn't use. You know, we are the only brand in the industry that says on our packaging, use this if, and you do not need this if. We tell people not to buy it on the packaging. So they pick it up and they go, oh, this isn't for me. But what that does is build trust. So then they will then pick up something else and go, but this is for me. So yeah, be careful with your skin. But equally, I don't think we need to worry to the degree that a lot of the media and press would have us worry. I think it's all scaremongering, to be honest.
There has been a huge trend with that now, hasn't there? Like reading the side of labels, and if you don't recognise the ingredients, don't use it. But you're not going to recognise everything that is made in a laboratory. You can't completely have clean products. I don't even know what clean means. I've issues with
it. It doesn't mean a thing legally. It doesn't mean a thing in the industry. It doesn't mean a thing to scientists. It doesn't mean a thing in labs. It means nothing. Clean, green, anything like that. Medical grade, cosmetic grade, clinical grade. It's all marketing BS and you don't need any of it. The day you hear me utter those, I must be really skint, but you're never going to hear me say that. So I was not even a point in me saying it.
And what about the blogging then? Because you started that fairly late on. Did you ever imagine it would go to where it has?
No. I mean, you could never predict. You can never plan to go viral. You know, you can never predict how things are going to turn out. I started blogging in 2010. Case in point, if I had followed trends, which everyone's obsessed with, if I'd followed trends in blogging, I wouldn't be here now because I would have gone down the road of makeup and nails and hair. But I stuck to what I know well, and that was skincare. Hence, as the dust settles and people fall away, I'm left standing because I'm qualified, I'm in the industry, I'm a bit older, you know, I'm trusted. And that absolutely stood me in good stead. Not following trends, doing what I know, being confident in what I know. And I think a lot of people mistake my opinion for, you know, when people say, oh, you're so opinionated. I'm like, I have no more opinions than you do. I have no more opinions than the average person does. I just think there's a certain age group and demographic of women in particular who are told that having an opinion is a negative. I don't see it as a negative. We never say that about a man. A man isn't opinionated. He's brave. You know, when you're talking to people about investment and things like that, women are asked about the risks. Men are asked about the growth. And I'm so over it. I can't. You may be able to tell.
And more women than men get asked about how they juggle it all. And something.
And who's going to look after their kids.
And something I always say is, I don't think we should stop asking women that, because it is a major part of having a family and running a business. But I think we should start asking men more, particularly in a heteronormative relationship. Why don't we ask the men more? How do they juggle it all?
My husband and I have been the same parents to the same children for the same amount of time. Do you think anyone has ever asked him how he does it all? Ever in 35 years, that man has never been asked about childcare. And I got asked at every juncture along the way until it became illegal. You know, the high percentage of our senior leadership team are mums. They're never not on, as it were. You know you're going to get an answer. Like the old adage, if you want a job doing, give it to a busy woman.
Yeah. And I mean, keep being opinionated, please. I mean, I think it's welcome. I think that, to call one person opinionated and another brave, you know, mm-hmm. We need to keep pushing. We've come a long way, but there's still a long way to go, isn't there?
Oh, there's a really long way to go. Some of the things people have said to me in the last 6 months, I look at them and I think, my God, have you lost your mind? Is this how you talk to people day to day?
Yeah.
Are you realise those words are coming out of your mouth? And to me, of all people, not from an ego way, just from a way of, if you know someone's going to bat back at you, it's going to be me.
Talk to me about starting going to the gym in your 50s. What made you go to that first class?
Being completely honest, my mum died. Caring for my mum at the end of her life, I had a moment of epiphany where I thought, I cannot do this to my children. My mum was so frail. We were basically carrying her, you know, at points. And I just thought, you've got to get a grip of yourself. Because it's a miracle I've got a career at all, if I'm honest, because I went through perimenopause online before people were talking about menopause. People just thought I was moaning. You know, they just thought I was a bit miserable. And I was absolutely miserable. And mum died in March 23. I started going to the gym in May 23. And it was never about, it was only when I was in the gym and I was doing it that I realized none of it was about weight. It was about my mindset. And that was life-changing for me. Yes, it took my mum passing away to get me to that point, but everyone has their point, right? You know, and when you're bathing your mother who is dying, you clearly have a moment of, wow, is this my future? You know, she's my mum. Is this my future? I don't want my children to have to do this for me. I want to be carrying my own shopping when I'm 80, 85, thank you, and playing with grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And that was the catalyst. It's not about how I look. It's not about, yes, my clothes fit better. I've lost some weight. But I fundamentally changed the structure of my body. It's not, oh, I'm carrying more muscle, or I don't even think like that. I just take better care of myself and I give myself less of a hard time. If I'm tired, I have a nap. You know, at the weekend, I call it a nana nap, and I love them. There was the old Caroline would never have stopped. And these days, any excuse for me to lie down on the sofa with a cup of tea, I'm happy as Larry.
Yeah, self-care. We all need a recharge of the batteries. And I love
whatever
that.
Whatever self-care is to you, do it.
Yeah. And I love that mindset shift around moving your body. And I do. I think it's such an important message and often gets lost in diet culture when there's a focus on weight loss.
It often, never about the weight.
And it comes where sacrificing something, you know, elsewhere later in life to be constantly calorie counting. And I'm sorry about your mum. But
thank
how amazing
you.
That you were there for her at that
No
at
one
that
would have
time.
Been more thrilled at my success in Ireland. You know, mum's first generation, born in Liverpool, and my great-grandparents were from Limerick, Irish till the bitter end. I mean, my great-grandparents were called Mary and Joseph. You could not make it up.
Well, you are coming to Dublin, as I said in the introduction. You have an incredible podcast. I've really enjoyed it. I've been listening to a good few. The last one I listened to was with Rochelle Humes, and it's called Glad We Had This Chat. And yep. It's just you speaking to people. It can go either way. Obviously, skincare and beauty can come up throughout it. But why did you want to start it?
To be honest, it was more like a request from my followers, you know, because there's only so many times you can go live on Instagram. You know, I go live at all random times of the day. My busiest Instagrams at the moment are when I'm in bed at night and I just go live and we chat, you know. And so it was a way for me to speak to more people and potentially a new audience. But there's never been, like, I've never sat down and had a master plan, you know. People who have a five-year plan, I think, oh, what must that be like? I've got, like, the next 3 to 6 months and then we'll see, you know. But it's just been really lovely to speak to people in a bit more detail and sort of, you know, also bring those people to my audience, which is, you know, quite large and good for me to champion people in my own industry too.
And in Dublin, you were speaking to Amy Connolly.
Amy Connolly, yeah.
Of the Sculpted fame. So that'll be fantastic to hear the two of you talk to each other. And also Siobhan McSweeney, the actress everyone adores.
Siobhan McSweeney. Can you imagine? From Derry Girls. So thrilled, like could not be more ecstatic.
And newly announced as the host of The Traitors Ireland. So everyone wants to hear somebody talk to her about that. So it promises to be great. And you do take questions from the audience around skincare, right?
Yeah. I'll be sending out a sort of a Q&A on my Instagram the morning of every gig. And then we'll be taking them in. And we're also going to do skin sins. So you can confidentially tell us your skin sins and we'll read them out on stage. And if they're really good and I read them out, we might be giving away a few gifts.
So before I let you go then, can I ask you a skin sin? Is using a baby wipe on your face the sin as it's described to be?
Yes. The end.
Yes, yes. Love that. And I
think about where they're meant to be used and keep them to that area.
Good, because I've been to a few beauty treatments and they've come to take my makeup off with one and, you know, I kind of...
No, I won't have it. Don't lie.
Good.
No.
Good. No, I, honestly, and I say no, good sorry, God. I won't be using that. So I'll keep that going because I felt a bit princessy, but I'll say Caroline Hirons said, what about a hero product? Is there something everyone should have on their bedside locker or in their bathroom? Or can you say something like that when everyone's skin and needs are different?
Well, everyone's different, but essentially, as long as you're washing your face properly, so a decent cleanser, wearing a moisturiser, and if you really want to be lazy and do two birds with one stone, you can do a moisturiser with a built-in SPF or an SPF that is moisturising, if you like. But I like everything, so I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, me too.
I think water is what you need because you have to wash your face. If you take it right back...
And drink it. Feed the skin from the inside out, right?
Drink it. And yeah, take good care of your skin.
Well, keep doing what you're doing, Caroline. I'm glad you have no plan because it's working out fantastic. And I can't wait to see.
We haven't done bad with no plan, have we?
You've done really, really well. congratulations on all of your success with Skin Rocks, you know, with your online following. And of course, now with the podcast coming to the Three Olympia Theatre in Dublin, Monday, the 24th of February. Glad we had this chat with Amy Connolly and Siobhan McSweeney. Caroline Hirons, keep doing what you're doing and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.